Om Shanti, and good morning to everybody, and a special welcome and good morning. Actually, you're welcoming us rather than me welcoming you, but anyway, we're so delighted to have our dear, beloved, much respected, much valued Brij Mohan Bhai, our brother, here with us today. And while microphones are being sorted out, I wonder if I could ask, who in the audience is meeting Brij Mohan Bhai for the first time today? Would you put your hands up? Quite a few people. Okay, then, who in the audience is delighted that Bhai Sahib is with us today? So a very warm welcome. Quite a few. Bhai Sahib has reminded me, thank you, speak a little bit more slowly. So I think being in your company is going to be very good for me. And also for the translators too, so thank you. So, for those who are meeting Brij Mohan Bhai for the first time, just briefly, he is the Secretary General of the Brahma Kumaris. He has many, many roles. I won't list them, but he's in finance, he's the Chief Spokesman, he's the Member of the Management Committee. He was for many years editor of a wonderful magazine called Purity, which went worldwide. He's also especially responsible for service in Delhi, and in particular VIP service. There are many, many other things, but I'd actually like to quote a line from his official biography, which I think says it all. It says, "Brother Brij Mohan maintains his amiable and humble self while carrying out his responsibilities as Secretary General of the Brahma Kumaris. So his top priority is his stage and all the other things, all the other activities, all the other situations that come second. And he really is the embodiment of that. So thank you." So today we chose a topic that's in line with today's Murli, back to Satop Pradhan. Before we do that, I should introduce myself. I forgot to do that. I'm Sister Rachel. I'm from Global Cooperation House in London. And I'm very lucky to be here today. So, back to Satop Pradhan. And today in Baba's Murli, Baba said many times, you have to become Satop Pradhan. You definitely have to become Satop Pradhan. So I'd like to start by asking Bhai Sahib, what is Baba really wanting to convey to us when he says that?
Om Shanti. Satop Pradhan is our original stage of purity and divine virtues. So Baba wants us to attain that stage. That is the highest stage human souls can attain. We cannot become God, Supreme Soul. So next to that is the stage of Lord. So Lords are in the real sense, in Satop Pradhan stage, beginning of the new cycle called Satyuga.
What to you, how does it feel? What does it look like? Could you give some examples, perhaps?
Examples? No one is Satop Pradhan here. But Murli say that Sri Lakshmi, Sri Narayan, Sri Radhe, Sri Krishna, they are examples.
So when Baba talks about the Satop Pradhan stage, perhaps you could clarify the difference between the Satop Pradhan stage and, yes, being Satop Pradhan.
Well, when Baba says Satop Pradhan stage, Baba is telling us about our future, that all Brahmins have to keep in mind our future. future, not only future of this life, future of the next life, but future of our next 21 lives in the golden age. So much is at stake. So we have to become Satvapradhan for half of the world cycle, new world cycle that is coming.
And these words, we have to, it can feel a bit kind of like, we have to. But when we had a chat a little while ago, you had a slightly different take on it, in that, I don't know if you remember that or I can explain, you were thinking that it's like, it's got to happen. It has to happen. So one is, I have to do this, my effort, but then the other is, it has to happen. It's in the drama.
Well, Satvapradhan stage means stage of our complete truthfulness. Satya means truth. So, you can call it effort, but for such a stage, it is not effort, but it is a different method called God's love, which takes us to that stage. And one sign Baba has given of Satvapradhan stage is fearlessness. A truthful person isn't afraid of anything and anyone. So we have to see presently how much fearless about anything we are. So that will tell us at what level of Satvapradhan stage we are.
It was interesting, I think you know it much more better than I, but in the Gita, when the list of divine values, divine virtues is listed, fearlessness comes even before purity of mind, which I thought was very interesting. Chapter 16.
Yeah. Well, divine qualities, there are two salient divine qualities or virtues. One is truth and the other is love. Truth means eternal entity. What was, what is, and what will be, truth is unchanging. So for that, Baba says, we have to be in our stage of soul consciousness, because soul is eternal, everlasting, was, is, and will be. So on this basis, we have to have love. Now love binds, it unites. But there are two types of love. One is which people of today, they talk, they indulge in, and that is bodily love. Bodily love with physical things, which are perishable for the soul. So they all say, fall in love. Fall in love. But this one is soul's love for God. It is rise in love. So we can say, love is the spiritual technology of life.
Good definition. Thank you. Perhaps you could share some experiences of seeing elements of the Satvapradhan stage in Baba, in the Dadis. Are there particular things that you witnessed or that you were part of that you would like, you could share with people here today?
Well, they were embodiments of truth and love, personified Sattva Pradhan state because Sattva Pradhan will start from the golden age. But here it is diamond age. So you have to be a little one step ahead of that to be in the iron age, and to be Sattva Pradhan means something special. So therefore all of them, we all know, because we are inheritors of their willpower. So they were Sattva Pradhan plus par excellence, all of them.
And I wondered whether you might take us on a little journey, giving us examples in practical terms of that journey from Tamopradhan, Tamo, Rajo, Sato, Satopradhan. It could be one example, or it would just be helpful to kind of give some practical pointers, is that?
What I am saying, talking to you, is it clear to them?
Is it clear?
Or they want to
ask everyone? Is everyone clear so far? Yeah, everyone's. But yes, raise your hand if something isn't clear. Oh, yes. Oh. Thank you. I think so.
So that is the easiest answer. Because if they say unclear, they have to...
But they're very truthful.
Okay. All right. So what did you say?
Well, if you could give some examples of that, you know, those levels of, you know, that, as we're saying, back to Sakaran, those levels of Tamopradhan, Tamo, Rajo, Sato, Satopradhan. We hear these words, but perhaps you can just give some examples, some practical examples, or take us on a little journey.
Well, I have to see. One thing is Sattva Pradhan, my final aim and object. And when I completely become Sattva Pradhan, which here means karmatit, I will be not in this body, nor you will be, nor anyone will be. So therefore, we have to take our own examples. And that is, I would say, complete surrender of intellect to Baba. So all through the day and all through, how much I am completely surrendering my intellect to Baba, and where I feel that I need to use my own intellect for my own reasons. You see?
Yeah.
Sudesh Bibi here, a few days back, I was conversing with her. She said, Brahma Baba used to, whatever Brahma Baba would see in the world, anywhere, he will tell Gyan from out of that. And she said, she had come to Madhuban, and one person was mixing sand in cement for some construction work. So Baba just saw and told Sudesh Didi, you see, you have to see how much your manmat are mixing with your shrimat. You see, to some extent it is necessary because I have to imbibe shrimat. But there may be a limitation in me. But if I am adding my own intellect to that, then it causes trouble. And today's Avyakt Ishara is also about that.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd like to move on, if I might, just to ask some very practical things. How do you keep yourself fresh? Because you know, You have so much energy. Obviously, Baba keeps you very busy. How do you refresh yourself?
I think all are fresh because it is the soul which has to be fresh. If the soul is fresh, everything is fresh. And every day the Murli, morning Murli, makes us, refreshes us. Already fresh we are, but just again gives us our memories of everything that we are. And whatever little we might have acquired from outside world in the last 24 hours is cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
So any soul who is listening to the Murli carefully, Baba is supreme teacher, will get refreshed, fully refreshed.
And I know that Amrit Vela is something that's high priority to you, and you conduct it every day, as far as I know. Would you like to share, particularly because there are quite a few new people here, you know, the value to you personally of Amrit Vela?
Yes?
The value to you personally of Amrit Vela and how you use your Amrit Vela.
Baba has given free time to all Brahmins. That Amrit Vela is special for the Brahmins because Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba, both father and mother, just as in the world the parents, they clean the children in the morning and fill them with joy and everything. The only thing is, we have to give importance to time. So Baba has given appointed time of Amrit Vela. It may be midnight here and Amrit Vela in other part of the world, but wherever there is Amrit Vela, beginning of the day. So at that time, Baba has a beauty parlor. You know, yesterday also Baba had said, I make you beautiful soul. So there, if you sit with that thing, no thought need to be necessary. A baby does not ask the parents, you do this to me. It will be naturally done. So I don't raise any thoughts. Sit at Amrit Vela, Baba does. And I have found Baba will give you touchings. Baba will give you memories of things you might have forgotten. Or I was careless about everything.
So a beauty parlor, that's another lovely way of thinking about it. Here's something. When you see some behavior which you see isn't quite clean or quite pure, how do you let go of that inner anxiety to put things right? So if you see something that isn't quite right, isn't quite clean, how do you, sometimes there's a tendency, I want to put it right. And I just wondered, you know, how can we let go of that anxiety to just accept that maybe things are different in different situations?
I have only half understood.
Okay. So if there's a situation, there's some kind of, something's happened where things aren't quite right, things aren't quite clean. And I think quite often we want to put them right. But perhaps, and sometimes there's a kind of anxiety behind that, there's a compulsion that I have to put this right. And I wonder sometimes whether, how can we kind of stop that anxiety pushing us over, you know, to do things too much or to try and interfere too much. This is a question that someone suggested to me, Simon.
I have 3/4 understood, but I will reply. From your body language, I could understand something you are saying.
Okay.
Basic thing is, Baba says, Baba is washerman, Baba is doctor. So we are Baba's assistants, master washermen, master doctors. So a washerman will only get dirty linen to wash. So he knows it very well. And a good washerman is that he who cleans the dirtiest linen. He is considered the best. And doctor also will receive only patients. So he is not going, because otherwise you eat an apple every day and the doctor will be away. So therefore, we already know our occupation. And when some such things come, so we should be thinking, oh God, you have given us opportunity, because dealing with such situations makes you, takes you toward championship. Therefore, you know, it's very nice. Whatever you have said, I felt that it should be the answer.
And Baba did say actually, and really quite recently, it's like any test is a staircase that takes you further. But thank you for that. So another one was, when there are conflicting opinions, doesn't happen often, but just sometimes it does, there are differences of opinions, or maybe even kind of different factions, different, you know, groups thinking different things, and I'm being pulled in different ways, in different directions. What's the best way of responding to that situation in a positive, constructive way?
Well, a tree has different branches on both sides. So branches will be branches. Therefore, there will be differences. So it is obvious and we have to accept it and take it for granted. What is my role? The trunk of a tree, seed is of course God. The roots of a tree, they are for all whole of the tree, whether it is east branch or west branch, and they are extending wherever. So therefore, Baba says you have to take the attitude of an ancestor. Ancestor means the roots or the beginning of the trunk. So it balances both the sides. So you cannot take sides. There may be even some, there is maybe something you feel it is right, this is not right. But as the balancer, you have to take both as right, and you cannot, you see, and behave like that. Otherwise also in a family, supposing a grandchild breaks the newly purchased piece of crockery, very expensive. The father and the mother may beat their own child or scold the child. But supposing grandfather comes and says, what is this? And they explain, he will say, leave them, they are kids. So this is simple. Take them as kids, kidding. Finish.
Lovely. Thank you. Okay. I'd like to just suggest some situations and then for you to share maybe what Baba or what the daddies, how they would have responded or what they would have advised you. So I'm going to list some situations, give you a particular situation. And maybe you have a memory of something that Brahma Baba said or something that the daddies said that was helpful. I think this type of question is called rapid fire, but I don't really like the name rapid fire. I like to call it rapid bucket of water. So it's like when some situation comes up, how do I resolve it in a way that's going to bring the fire down? Okay? So the first one is, so what would Baba or what would the daddies have said when there's some kind of defamation at work or in the Lokic world outside? you received, would they have given any advice, or was there an example of that?
Well, getting a feeling of defamation or fame is my own way of thinking, my own approach to the things. If I don't want to be defamed, nobody on earth can defame me. But if I have a feeling that I can be defamed and I am being defamed, it is different. So Baba says, be in your self-respect.
Thank you. And what about if there's injustice that's happening? Yeah, it could be at work, could be in the family, could be in the neighborhood and somewhere outside. How do I respond to that in a way that's helpful?
Injustice. You have to think about this word, injustice. As per law of karma, no injustice can be or is being done to anyone. So I have to myself think whether what is I am thinking is injustice or settling of my accounts. Simple answer is, when anything unpleasant to me happens, I should think it is settling of my karmic account. Finish. And easy settling, rather than getting into an ICU and suffering there. It's Baba is making just a pinprick and settling our accounts. We should be happy, thankful, grateful to the one who is creating such situation. Okay?
Great. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. What about, there's a service deadline. It's very important. It's very high priority. And we miss it. So we miss a service deadline. Or we fail to accomplish something, to achieve something that was very important in service. Do you have any memory of that? Or do you have any thoughts on that? What's the positive way to respond? How can I understand that?
Service.
Mm.
I think only yesterday's blessing Baba has mentioned a lot. You know? So why we read old newspapers? So Baba says, has defined service, and if you are not getting any service, then what is service? And therefore, in fact, our service or disservice can be happening all the time. So we should be careful about that. Don't bother about situations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to ask a few questions about service outside India and your input in that, if that's okay.
First of all, outside India and inside India doesn't matter to me.
Good. Okay.
Because, you know, we have to have a global look. And I will advise all the double foreigners never to bring in their mind even outside India or inside India or Eastern countries or Western countries. No. It dissolves as soon as you become a BK. Because whatever we are discussing, talking, trying to give message or inculcate is universal. So it applies, for example, truth and love.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't apply, there is no distinction between outside India. But you can ask the question whatever you have said.
Well, it's just that sometimes it just needs to be presented in a different way, but your input will be really helpful. So I'm going to suggest, what if Baba today were to send you to serve in the West, or the Middle East, or the Far East? So basically, were to ask you to go and serve outside India, and maybe a particularly sensitive area.
In fact, we can modify the question to outside me, okay?
Okay.
Because that will be, we will be understanding the situations that arise. Because there is one thing is a Brahmin and the other thing outside of that, non-Brahmin.
Mm-hmm.
So it applies to everywhere.
Okay. Okay.
Because outside India also, if there are Brahmins, we will have common, everything in common. The non-Brahmins are available, maybe it's your own family also. So therefore, it is a question of different values.
Sure.
So, the one who has better values or more, think has to preserve certain values, has to be careful, not the other one. So therefore, I have to be careful how to preserve my values. For instance, I go to some party or some Laukik people's celebration, etc., etc. And there food is served or certain celebrations are to be done, but which is, for me, it is just not required for me. So I have to see the situation and how far I have to participate in that. But basically, I should never compromise with my principles, because if I do, they will make a laughing stock of me, because they know that a BK has these values, and look how easily this BK is tempted to compromise with that. And I assure you, it is my own experience. Once you decide to observe a discipline, it will enhance your respectability, it will enhance your self-respect, and the others will also feel much happy that this is a person who is doing it. Mm. So we have to be careful about that.
Definitely.
And I have my own example that I never ate or took anything from outside, and it helped me a lot in many ways. There is no time, but you can...
But take, tell one example.
Huh?
Could you tell one, share one example?
Okay, I can.
That would be nice.
If they have time to listen.
They do. They definitely have time to listen.
All right. You know, I was doing service in a company, corporate. And there, for the first time, the workers went on striking the work. We never knew what about the strike. It was a big corporation, government corporation. So the management decided, it was an automatic plant, they decided to send the officers with police escort inside the factory so that we can manage the whole thing. I mean, somebody may manage transport booth, etc. So they got a police van and started call all the officers and asking them to get into the van. My turn was also to come. So I thought that if I go there, how long this strike may last, I do not know. I have to eat their food. So I instantly thought, if they tell me, I will resign the job. Finish. So when my turn came, our chief, he put his hand on my head and he said, let us keep one finance man outside because we have to pay salaries to the loyal staff, etc. So for 19 days that strike took place, all the officers were inside the factory. Their wives used to give me medicine, sweater, etc. for them to send, but I was the only person outside. So this is the result of that.
The respect for your principles.
Yes,
beautiful.
Yes.
Thank you. Baba's constantly telling us, and you're particularly involved in this, to prove that Krishna is not the sermonizer of the Gita. Now, how relevant is this for people not in India? I know we're not discriminating, but I am discriminating just right now. How relevant is this for people outside India, many of whom don't even believe in God?
Again, you have used the India and non-India terminology. In India itself, there is a whole lot of majority of people who have similar views.
Are they? Okay, thank you.
Baba says, Baba reveals his knowledge, pure knowledge, to his children only, to be used as and when and where required, in whatever form it has to be used. It is not that we start speaking to people straight away, Krishna is not God. That is not the idea. Baba says that basic thing is, souls have become weak, they are powerless, and to have power, the only source, as Baba said yesterday, reserved one, we have to connect with that reserved one, because it's a spiritual power. Okay. Therefore, when we talk to people who think that Krishna was God, he was a physical being, so we have to tell that person in our own way and what is acceptable to him, that to connect the soul with Supreme Soul is the main thing. And if you start thinking yourself to be a body and God also to be in bodily form, that won't click. So that is the basic idea. So depending upon those who believe in Krishna, for them only this conversation is required. For others, we can go straight away, soul and body. That's the idea.
Thank you. And today we're seeing a world that's full of challenges, very serious challenges. And I wonder, what are the main points of Gyan? You've mentioned one of them, obviously. But what are the main messages that we can give that will help people at these times? What do you feel right around the world, in India and abroad, because we're all one?
First of all, challenges are to be welcome. Even I think today's Murli or yesterday's, Baba has said, a Rustam will fight a Rustam. That is a wrestler, a famous wrestler. So if you are powerful, then you have an equal person powerful to show your strength. Even in the colleges and schools, you get the examination paper according to the standard you are in. Okay? So no problem. Now the question is, what is your question?
Well, in many areas of the world, there are serious conflicts, serious problems. So what are the main, what points of Gyan do you think that we can share that will be helpful, particularly helpful in these times?
Well, it depends upon the response and acceptability of the person we are dealing with. Because in this world, people believe that nobody can tell you absolute way or absolute truth. So we should also, although we know the absolute, but we have to be in the world, we have not to make it look like that. So whatever, like a baby of different age, you have to give diluted milk or something. So you have to round it off, and whatever is necessary, if it is an individual or a group of a particular religion, religious people, or if it is media or government, so it varies, you know, what answer we should give.
So it really depends on the situation and the person. Yes. That's fine. Okay, that's, thank you. I'd like to move on, if I may, just to ask some questions about your personal experience, your early experience. And many people are coming to Madhavan for the first time, but I'd love to hear about when you came to Madhavan for the first time, just a little while ago. We don't get into numbers. But it was a little bit different then. So would you share your first experience of Madhavan with us today?
First experience? Of course, last experience has yet to come, but let it be the first one.
You can make that up if you like.
What happened that my parents were coming to Gyan, and by virtue of my parents, I was allowed to come to Madhavan by bending that condition which normally applies. First of all, I was refused, but then I wrote many applications. So they said, okay, you can come.
How old were you, Bhaisa? How old? What age were you?
My age, about 21 years.
Okay.
So, I came neutral, but curious, because whatever my parents used to tell. And earlier, before that also, I had got some gyan in my city. That was also because my mother told me to go to Brahma Kumaris and see where the father is going, because there was a rumor that your husband will leave the family. So I went as for that purpose. I was a law student. But anyhow, I went to Madhuban. I had heard that there will be Baba and Mama. I was very curious to see. So any family that would come for the first time, so they will, Baba and Mama will meet them after the class. So Baba and Mama were seated, you know, on, not on chairs, you know, but you call benches, something like that. So Baba and Mama were seated, and at that time, one by one, we'll go to them and we will go to their lap for some time. So my first thing was, I was sitting, so I was looking alternatively at both of them. Yeah, I should look at Baba, then I look at Mama, then again. So seeing me doing this, Mama smiled, that what is this boy doing? That was the first experience. But I was curious, whom to see. Then my turn came. So first, I went to Mama's lap. And I felt bodiless, totally light like cotton. And we would go to the lap only for a small time. And then Mama will pat on our back. Your time is over, huh? So, it happened, but I was enjoying so much. Never felt in my life like that. So, when Mama patted, so I little got up again, went to the lap for the second time. Mama thought that he wants to have double like that. But very enjoyable. Never that experience I had since then. Then I went to Baba's lap, but by going to Baba, Mama was very lovely, easy to go to lap, but Baba, little, you know, if I saw because of his age, then his aura, copper-like skin. So I went, but like a student going to headmaster lap. Anyhow, I had one experience. So I did not ask for second time and all that. And Baba just patted and like that.
Okay. Thank you. Beautiful. And how long did you stay when you came that time? Did you stay just a few days? Or did you stay for a while when you came to Madhuban with your family first?
No, in those days, 1 week's time was permitted to all families, because it was not only going to Baba's lap, as today's Murli also Baba has said, it is not meeting Baba but also having some education. So we used to stay, meet brothers and sisters. But I think it is worthwhile to state that after such meetings, then in the adjoining room, Baba and Mama will sit unofficially. Baba will sit mostly, and the new ones will come, and other children also, they are sitting formally, but they will sitting on the floor surrounding Baba. So at that time, myself, my mother, father, myself and my younger brother, four of us went. And then at that time, for the first time, Baba gives us his blessings or whatever, foretells about us. So my father was a very enthusiastic person at that time. He wanted to leave everything and become surrendered Baba child. So he told Baba accordingly. Baba said, you have a family, so you cannot do that. You be a trustee, take care of your family and continue. To my mother was a devotee of some guru. So Baba saw her and said that, I know you are nashto moha, you are detached, but still I would like that your spouse will open a center for you in some nearby pilgrim place and you be there, so that you are become more detached. So accordingly, my father opened a center in near to Delhi. There is a pilgrim center, Lord Krishna's place called Mathura. To me, what is relevant? Baba asked me, what you are doing? So I said, I was studying law and some training of chartered accountant, I told. So Baba said, you complete your studies. Okay? And this is very relevant to what Baba said to my younger brother. My younger brother was 12th standard student. Baba told him, you leave your studies and become full Brahma Kumar. In retrospect, after 3 years, my younger brother left body. So Baba knew, and Baba made him to do some very important thing at that time in Delhi, searching a house, etc. And Baba knew that I will live up to now. So Baba told me to complete my studies in retrospect.
Very interesting. I'm interested to know, did you have an inkling, did you have some idea, even before your mother asked you to go and check up on what your father was doing, did you have a sense of the journey that was going to lie ahead of you? Did you have a feeling that you had a very unique spiritual life ahead of you, or was this something of a bit of a surprise?
Well, you asked this question for all of them. Did they have? Mm-hmm. Or did you have?
No.
Then?
I didn't, and yet, looking back, I can see so many little hints. So it wasn't there. This was
you are asking an inkling before, not afterwards. So that is not applicable.
Good point. But looking back,
yes,
were the signals, were the hints? And
well,
what were
looking
they?
Back, one can relate, because after all these souls who come to Brahman, Baba, become Baba children, they have a track. And you know, so either they are too much deviated or too close. Both ways it works. Some have favorable conditions, some have very strange type of. But basic thing is, those of us who became Baba's children last kalpa, no one can stop them from becoming, whether it happened by accident or by whatever.
And each one's story is incredible.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Okay, so, so there's one person who's not with us this time, which is our dear Nirwabaiji, and you were service companions with him for quite a while, and I think it would be really lovely to hear from you some of the key things, maybe, that you learned from Nirwabai, and what are the qualities that perhaps were not so obvious to us, but that you saw. So first of all, what were the key things that you personally learned from Nirwabai?
You know, as you talked in the previous question about inkling, you know, myself, Nirwabai Bhai, Ramesh Bhai and Jagdish Bhai, four of us, just before Baba left the body in 1969 January. A few months before that only, Baba called us. I was in Delhi, Jagdish Bhai was in Delhi. They were both in Bombay. It so happened, because I was in a job, I took leave and I reached first of all. So Baba said, oh, you are flying squared, you have come first of all. But that was because of my office. So at that time, Baba foresaw whatever it is, Baba made a small committee, which later on turned into a big thing for management. So at that time I came in contact with Nirvair Bhai. He was in the Indian Navy and stationed at Bombay. But then after that, Nirvair Bhai came to Madhuban. Jagdish Bhai was an author of all our books. He was stayed in Delhi, and that Baba also wanted some. So too, myself was also studying, so stayed in Delhi. Ramesh Bhai was also doing some accountancy there. So we used to go to Madhuban periodically. So I had contact with Nirvair Bhai also periodically. But later on it turned that we belong to the same province of India, and our villages were also close by. That's why I am now telling you all that. Anyhow, his real role came when Dadi Prakash Mani took over. Baba left the body. So there was, you know, the Yagya has all types of people, inmates. Many, most of them are brothers also here. So Dadiji was taking care of the brothers and sisters, the family, like a head of the family. But after Dadiji, now Janki Dadi was abroad, Gulzar Dadi was in Delhi. This brother, he took the role of a sort of parent. That was the beautiful thing. And he had that quality of large-heartedness, magnanimity, compassion, which I do not have. Because I took it as a, I took everything from point of view of Gyan. This person is karmic account, so he is sick. He will not do that. I will try to economize where he will be liberal. So to run such a big yajna, now I am realizing because I am in his shoes. So to run it so harmoniously, listen to, you know, there are certain maryadas, rules, but most of these things are beyond rules, where you have to look at any individual's personal things. For example, in every establishment, if this word as well as in yajna, you are assessed by your present value. Because, you know, if you are presently, I am active, so I am here in active role. If presently I become sick or something or so, then I get a different role. So, but this person, he did not look at the present. Because at present anybody who is doing active work, he will get all the facilities, etc. Those who did something at some time, they may not be there, so they will be feeling little behind. But he will take care of their track record and plus add something of his own magnanimity and deal with them. It has happened with me also. You know, I was in Madhuban few years back and I was just in my car for leaving for Delhi. And I used to have some pain in my heart. So I went to take leave from Nirvair Bhai in adjoining room and I just mentioned, brother, because he induced hospital, etc., I never bothered. I said, brother, sometime, you know, I have little this thing here. Next time when I come, he said, no. You straight away go to Ahmedabad. So I diverted straight to Ahmedabad. He phoned a doctor and doctor said, please have your breakfast, come to hospital. And then everything, process was done, some angiography, etc. So, this was his concern.
Like, taking care and that welcoming.
Yes.
He always made you feel so welcoming.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Okay, thank you. So, we've got a little bit more time. And let me see if there was anything else that I wanted to ask. Okay. Baba's mentioned a few times recently that we have to be careful to stay alert and not to get tired, not to get sleepy. And he said the other day that it's when there's a heaviness. When there's a heaviness, when there's too much burden, that's when I'm feeling tired. But it does sometimes happen, or it happens to me. I sometimes feel a bit tired. What advice can you give us to keep ourselves? It goes back to that feeling fresh, I know, and the murli. But are there any practical things that we can help ourselves so that we can be alert and not miss out on things because tiredness creeps in when we don't want it to?
Well, tiredness is a state of mind, number one. You remember, I came to London last time and I was given first day for rest. But then some TV person...
There was an interview.
They said that this TV person will interview you. So I went to their studio. And the first thing that person asked me was, you must be feeling tired, you have come all the way from India. I said, no, I diverted my mind. I just told her. Said, how come, what do you mean by diverting your mind, huh? So I told her that for how long do we really live in our body? This question everybody can ask themselves. Actually, for how long do we really live in our body, in the whole day?
Our minds are traveling all over the place.
That is the thing. But for how long really in the body? Not much. Okay? Some people, they get dreams, they don't live in the body even while sleeping.
Could you explain a little?
So I told her, that person, that already we don't live in our body for most of the time. Now body is being brought from India to London in a plane, okay? Then is it not possible to intentionally take my mind to certain pleasant situations and be out of body? Otherwise also people are reading magazine, doing this, that. So I said, this is my method. So I have the option to tune in my mind, television, pleasant things, unpleasant things, useless things. So I tuned my mind to defend my pleasant things, and I did not even know that London has come. So that is the thing.
Actually, it's a brilliant method, right?
And the real answer is, either out of fear or fright, or out of joy. If the mind is engaged in either of the two, then you don't think of tiredness or time, anything. A cobra comes under my bed and it is Amrit Vela. I want to be lazy and sleep. Can I do that? It is fear. Similarly, if a very big sort of a benefit is given to me, supposing I have been a lottery and the lottery office is on 10th floor and lift is out of order. They say, wait for 1 hour, let the lift be set right. I will say, no, I will climb. Where from that strength comes? It is a state of mind, depending upon the significance. Supposing your country's president, prime minister comes and sits with you in my place. Will you be sitting like this or you will sit a little differently?
I'd ask him difficult questions like I've asked you.
So what I'm saying, supposing Shri Baba comes and sits with you or Sri Krishna, you will be different. So it is all a state of mind.
Lovely. Thank you. I wonder, we're coming to a close now. Thank you so much. I think we've all really, really enjoyed.
You can ask them.
Okay. Have we all really enjoyed?
Open the house. Anyone wants to add...
Would anyone like to add something?
Amend or do something to our talk.
Would anyone like to add something? Or yeah, somebody's got a hand up. If we could have a mic here, that would be great. I think it's just coming. Thank you. Just over here. Do you want to come to the stage? Thank you. Just in front of the stage. That's lovely.
Thank you.
Do you want to come closer so the people, I think the webcast can see you. That's lovely. Thanks.
Esteemed Spirit Honorable Brother Brizamon Paisab and Sister Rachel and all of you Baba's wonderful children, Om Shanti. My Laukik name is Krishna and I am all the way from California and I practice in Sacramento Center. And we are four Baba's bachis from Sacramento. And it is our extremely privilege to be here. And so I have, there was a question to brother regarding his first experience in Madhavan. So this is my first time. So I would like to share, if I may, the first experience in Madhavan. So I have written a little poem. I was listening to that question and answer. So I was doing a little bit. So I wrote a little 4 lines, if I may. So this is in Hindi. Is that okay?
Maybe you could translate afterwards briefly.
Hindi.
ऐसा लगा मधुबन में आकर ऐसा लगा मधुबन में आकर खुद से और खुदा से खुद ही जुड़ गए ऐसा लगा मधुबन में आकर खुद से खुदा से और खुद ही जुड़ गए चारों ओर पवित्र आत्माओं का बसेरा है जहां चारों ओर पवित्र आत्माओं का बसेरा है जहां हम तो सस्ते में ही फरिश्ते बन गए दर दर भटकता रहा मुकाम पाने के लिए अब तक भाई जी दर दर भटकता रहा मुकाम पाने के लिए अब तक मुझे तो मेरा सदरे मुकाम यहीं पे मिल गए
थैंक यू
ऐसा लगा मधुबन में आकर खुद से और खुदा से रिश्ते खुद ही जुड़ गए थैंक यू सो मच
थैंक यू कुड यू जस्ट इन वन सेंटेंस जस्ट गिव एन एसेंस फॉर दोज हु स्पीक इंग्लिश नॉट द होल थिंग जस्ट अ लिटिल एसेंस बिकॉज़ टाइम इज शॉर्ट बट इट विल बी नाइस थैंक यू
इफ देयर इज एन ऑफिशियल ट्रांसलेटर From Hindi to
but
English,
I think the English
they can
people
do
can,
better. Huh?
The English people won't have headphones, so
because to translate your own poem,
yeah, it's
the
not
appropriate
easy.
Word.
If anyone offers, is anyone
nice word,
Hindi speaking
anyhow,
offering to
do
just
free
give
translation?
An essence.
Free translation.
Thank you, brother. So the first line: ऐसा लगा मधुबन में आकर खुद से
Just the English, if that's your
English. Okay.
And short, yeah, thank you.
So yeah. I have such an amazing experience being in Madhuban. I was able to connect myself, connect to Almighty Khuda, Sri Baba, and Khudi, meaning I was automatically connected with myself and Shri Baba. All around I could see all the pure souls here in Madhuban. I was able to be angel without even doing any hard work. I just became automatically angel. I feel like became automatically angel. I was traveling here and there to find my place until now. But today, I found the most sadare mukam, the place, the most confined place here in Madhuban.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank Om you Shanti. So much. That's really beautiful. We have one. Can we have one more contribution and then a meditation? But if you'd like to come, Mariana.
Om Shanti, Brother Prish Mohan. It's so good to see you. We are very, very happy to have you here. I want to ask if you can develop a little bit more about the connection between truth and fearlessness, and even truth and non-violence. If you can develop a little bit more.
Truth and?
Fearlessness.
Oh, right, okay. Very good question. She could say it in poetry also, but it is nice. See, a truthful being has nothing to be afraid of, nothing to hide. And if you are not truthful, then you have to find so many ways to conceal your untruth. So naturally a person is truthful because truth proves itself. So truth and fearlessness go together. If someone has something to hide, something different inside, different outside, then their fear will be created that this weakness may be caught sometime by someone. Then the second was truth and
non-violence.
Well, very nice. All untruth is violence. You see, Baba has said, people think of violence in terms of physical hurt or mental hurt. But Baba says, all the five weaknesses or vices, lust, anger, greed, attachment or ego are violence. And therefore, why they arise? Because of the untruth that I think myself to be the body. All these start only when I start deviate from the truth, I am a soul. So therefore, non-violence means getting back to my original state of soul. Then only I can have victory over, overcome these five weaknesses.
Thank you. Was there one over here, brother? Do you want to come?
Om Shanti. Lovely, lovely, lovely to hear you and see you. I just was wondering about Sato, Rajo, Tamo. When we come to Baba, are we all in complete Tamo Pratan state? Are we all, you know, we are all aiming for being Sato Pratan, but have we all reached our lowest point? So it's a journey, it's a journey, but I was just wondering, are we all completely degraded when we come? Or are we
all completely Tamopradan when we come? Are we all completely degraded when we come to Baba?
Well, we come to Baba when Baba comes to us. It is neither by prayer nor by any option. There is a fixed time for Baba to come on this earth to salvage all souls. Therefore, technically speaking, we cannot say all become tamopradhan when Baba comes, but all tamopradhan only comes to Baba. Because there may be some souls, a few souls, who may be still coming from Paramdham, passing through their four stages very quickly, as Baba has said 2 days before also, maximum births are 84, and there may be some souls taking 1 or 2 births. So therefore, technically different, but it is a fact that all those who come to Baba as Brahmins have their tamopradhan state, add to it that Baba says our last birth of coming to Baba does not reflect that tamopradhan state. Previous to that reflected our most tamopradhan state. But there is a grace in our Sangam Yogi birth where we are reborn because Baba knows that these are the souls who have to be prepared for the next world. So here we get better situation, and Baba has said no Brahmin will ever be in such a state, wretched state, as for some time, you know, people in the world, they die in a railway train and then they are dragged on the platform by the coolies. No such thing will happen to any Brahmin. So this is a little extra gift Baba has given to us at Sangam Yuga. So for example, to me, this tamopradhan state does not apply. The astrologer told me before coming to Gyan, I will live up to 49 years. And that astrologer's many predictions came true. But now I am 91 years. So this shows that here you can make a change.
Wonderful. Thank you. One more and then I think we have to close. Thank you.
You touched on the law of karma, and my question is that, of course, we know if there's suffering, mental, physical, whatever, it's settlement of karma. But how do I know whether this is a settlement from a previous birth, from before Gyan, or negative actions while I am in Gyan? Can you explain that a little bit more?
So when there is suffering, how do I know whether it's the settling of karma of this birth, a previous birth, before Gyan, after Gyan?
It is so much accumulated for the last 63 births, two yugas, that it is such a mingled thing and such a complex and complicated karmic account where, you know, even if you settle for 100 lives, you cannot settle that karmic account. So it becomes irrelevant whether it is this lives or that lives. But the fact is, the trend shows, the curve shows, that we have been settling less and accumulating more of bad karma. That is why the curve is downwards. And only Shri Baba relieves all souls, whether they are BKs or non-BKs, of this settlement of karmic account at one go by putting the drama to a stop. And therefore, either by punishment or by half punishment, Baba takes us to the Paramdham. So that all, like a person declared bankrupt, a bankrupt cannot pay his creditors, but then he is declared officially bankrupt, so everything is resolved. It is like that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your really good questions and inputs. That was lovely. And Baisa, could we just finish with a short meditation? Would you just lead us into a very short meditation? If we can have the lights down, that would be great.
We can sit in short meditation, but everybody lead themselves, because conducted meditation is like, you know, spoon feeding. Huh? Okay. So we have had enough conversation.
Fine.
So, be on our own, huh?
That's okay. Good. That's lovely.